Good morning and welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, partner in charge of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. We created the center in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center and our programs by visiting us on the web at www.businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our special guest this morning is Dr. Andrew von Eschenbach, director of the National Cancer Institute. Good morning, Dr. von Eschenbach.
Good morning, Paul.
And also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Tom Berlin. Good morning, Tom.
Morning, Paul. Morning, Doctor.
It's great to be with you both.
Thank you very much. Well, let's begin by talking about the National Cancer Institute and its mission. Could you take us into the history, when and why it was created?
Well, Paul, the National Cancer Institute first came into existence in 1937 with the passage of a National Cancer Act. But it really wasn't until 1971 when Congress passed the revised edition of the National Cancer Act that committed this nation to conquering cancer and commissioned the National Cancer Institute to lead that national cancer program. So for the past three decades, the National Cancer Institute has become the largest of all of the institutes at the National Institutes of Health and has been responsible for a broad portfolio of cancer research, cancer training and development, information dissemination, and the creation of a national program to conquer cancer.
How do you describe the size of the National Cancer Institute?
Well, we have an operating budget to support this effort of $4.8 billion, which is the largest of all of the budgets of the institutes at the NIH. But even more importantly, we have a distributed national infrastructure that's been created over the past three decades of 60 comprehensive cancer centers around the country. We also have a significant infrastructure having to do with clinical trials and cancer control, education and treatment, and also the fact that we have created an international program. So the sphere of influence of the National Cancer Institute goes far beyond the institution that exists in Bethesda, Maryland, on the campus of the NIH. It really is a national and international program.
And how about the people? Can you give us sort of the size of the extended team and then the unique skills?
Well, there are 4,500 people approximately that work directly within the NCI. And that, of course, is the core that manages and nurtures the larger distributed network that I alluded to. It's really a broad portfolio that includes scientists, clinicians, administrators, investigators at just about every level of activity to see cancer as a problem of discovery, development, and delivery. So learning and understanding about cancer, the development of interventions to more effectively detect, intervene, treat, prevent cancer, and the ability to deliver those interventions are all part of the portfolio and all part of the responsibilities of the workforce.
Dr. von Eschenbach, your role as the director of the National Cancer Institute, can you tell us a little bit about your duties and responsibilities in that capacity?
Well, I have the opportunity to play the role of administrator coordinator of this tremendous effort. It is a presidential appointment, so I am appointed by the President of the United States to serve to lead the Cancer Institute. And the real privilege is that it's both what we describe as an intramural and an extramural activity. Intramural from the perspective of the day in and day out management and leadership of the NCI, as I've just described it. But even more importantly, playing a very significant role in helping to coordinate and orchestrate the effort that's occurring across our entire country. So a large part of my opportunity is to work with other agencies within the federal government, many other agencies within the private sector, so that we collectively and comprehensively as a nation address the problem that Americans fear the most, the problem that one out of every two men and one out of every three women will hear in their lifetime, you have cancer. So I'm fortunate and blessed to have the privilege of help leading the effort to make that no longer a reality.
Well, you've certainly described a broad set of responsibilities, a huge network, and an awesome mission in front of you. Tell us a little bit more about the experience prior to becoming the director, your personal experiences.
Well, 26 years ago, or prior to coming to the NCI, I began a career as a urologic oncologist at the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center. So I spent my entire professional career directly dealing with the treatment of cancer patients and also the research in helping to understand cancer at a very fundamental level. And that provided for me a very significant background and perspective. I had the opportunity not only to function both from the research and teaching and clinical end of the spectrum, but also to become involved in administration. So in addition to being at one point the chairman of the Department of Urologic Oncology at MD Anderson, I also went on to become the executive vice president and chief academic officer, which gave me an opportunity to begin to help administrate and coordinate a more comprehensive effort. I also served in many roles outside the institution, including having had the opportunity to, prior to taking this position, to be president-elect of the American Cancer Society. All of that led me to a point where not only was I aware of the reality of patients suffering and dying from this disease, but I also had a firsthand appreciation of the tremendous progress that was being made not only within this country but throughout the entire world, progress that was leading us to understand cancer, to begin to use that understanding and knowledge to develop more effective interventions, and to recognize that we had it within our grasp as a nation to use these resources and these opportunities and this new knowledge so that patients no longer had to suffer and die as a result of cancer.
How about the contrast between being in the healthcare provider side of the market, where you're largely a recipient of the research that was being conducted through the National Cancer Institute, and now being on the other side of that, where you were providing to those and facilitating efforts to find the cure for cancer?
Well, Tom, I think you've put your finger on actually what is one of the most exciting parts of our current opportunity, and that is this fusion between research and our understanding of cancer and the delivery of interventions, be they therapeutic to treat disease or to prevent the disease or detect disease. And what we're seeing now, by virtue of the fact we're moving into a new era, an era where when I began in oncology back in 1976 at MD Anderson, our approach to cancer was seek and destroy. Find it and kill it. Find it as early as you can and destroy it and kill it as effectively as you can. Now, today, we see an opportunity where, because we're understanding cancer at a very fundamental genetic, molecular, and cellular level, we're able to create and define an entirely new paradigm of target and control cancer. As we begin to move that new paradigm into the delivery end of the spectrum and out of the research and development end of the spectrum, we're creating a new opportunity where the actual delivery of these targeted interventions, where our ability to use these emerging technologies in genomics and proteomics, advances in nanotechnology, bioinformatics, information technologies, etc., the delivery of care is in itself becoming an opportunity for us to understand the biology of cancer in the human condition, in people. So we're creating a circular continuum of discovery, development, and delivery, and delivery is helping to reinform the whole discovery end of the spectrum. And I no longer see the distinction between being one or the other, but really being a part of a seamless integration of all of that.
That's wonderful. We can hear in your voice the passion you have for it. But you alluded to earlier that you got into the administrative and management sides, and every business and every operation has that as part of it. Can you tell us a little bit about the differences between managing in the healthcare industry and now managing in the government side?
I think there are clearly differences in terms of the fact that within the federal government, there are a different set of policies and procedures that govern the way in which you conduct activities. But on the other hand, it's actually much more striking to realize how similar and identical the opportunities are. And that's because I think whether you're in the government directing an institution like the National Cancer Institute, or whether you're in the private sector at a cancer center like MD Anderson, the fact of the matter is that all of this activity is mission-directed and mission-oriented. And you're blessed with finding a cadre of people who come to it with that dimension, a commitment to a mission to make a difference in people's lives and to create a public health scenario in which no one suffers and dies from cancer. with that kind of a basis, you find that your challenges and your opportunities are really quite similar. And you find that you're blessed by having people who are not here for any reason other than how much they can serve and contribute to others.
That's interesting. I especially enjoyed your answer about the intramural and extramural description. What would it take to eliminate death from cancer in our lifetime? We'll ask Dr. Andrew von Eschenbach, director of the National Cancer Institute, to explain this to us when the Business of Government Hour returns.